Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome. Like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome. Like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Good morning. Welcome to Berardi and Coke for a shitty Huddersfield game, which, you know, I think you could probably say it were a pile of dog turd and fully intend that pun, couldn't you, Gilly? How are you doing?
I'm a little worse for wear today. I might have enjoyed myself yesterday evening.
Enjoyed yourself? Do you mean drowned your sorrows?
No. Do you know what? I'm quite zen about it. We've got nine winning consecutive league games, and we remain unbeaten all year. We're quite zen about it. It's fine. You know, I think the amount that they celebrated a draw made it seem more like it was a loss to us. And they were down to 10 men for an extended period of the game, and we should have capitalised on that, and we didn't. But we still remain unbeaten. I'm quite zen about this, especially when you look at some of the other, you know, Ipswich are the one that let us down yesterday. But everybody else kind of just got on board with, well, Leeds are fucked up, so let's join them.
All right, well, on that note, I'll run the intro and then we'll properly get into it.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
You look like fucking Brolin, you're a Leeds hating bastard.
Or some sort of fucking weird floating head. No.
You utensil player a bit, innit?
I mean, I feel a bit right, dickhead.
Nothing spectacular, really.
Nothing spectacular, really. Again. Although we've not been able to say that recently, so... It's like a throwback. It still feels a bit like, oh, here we go. But you know what? We've done all right. And I mean, like you say, there's two ways to look at yesterday, isn't there? You can either look at it as we've screwed up, we've dropped the ball, or you can look at it as we're a point closer to the title.
Exactly that. You know, Leicester joined us, as I say, in not having the best of days. But that's now three defeats in a row for them.
The wheels may have fallen off there.
Exactly. They were adamant when we beat... So earlier in the season, and I pointed this out, they drew with Wednesday just after. So they were a win in between, but they lost to Burnley, they lost to us. They then won, and then they drew with Wednesday. And I'm looking at that, and I'm going 4 points from possible 12. They could go on that sort of run again, and we're there. It's now a worse run than that.
That's it. We just need Ipswich to fuck off, don't we?
I think we all need that.
I wish they'd just piss off. They're like a fly that you can't get rid of that's flying around your fucking house, and you end up chasing the bastard round with a swatter and you can't catch it. That's how it feels with them at the moment. I mean, we have caught them, we overtook them, now we're behind them again, but I don't know.
We did that with Saints. You know, Saints came from nowhere, they went into second place, they were in front of us, and we're like, oh shit. And now Saints are 3 points behind us with the worst goal difference. It's like, you know, there's a lot of football still to be played. I know it's what, 12 games left, but there's a fair amount of football still to be played here. And it's not inconceivable, even now, that Leicester fall outside of the top two?
No, there's
enough football left. Yeah,
we've shown how you can fuck it up from Christmas. You know what I mean? We know
no
that
side as ever.
Yeah, exactly. We're the team that broke that, and now we're the team that's come to enforce it against Leicester.
Yeah.
So let's see. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of like, I'm a bit down about it and disappointed on the game as a standalone thing. It's hard to imagine that a team as good as ours could go there against them. Should have scored really early on as well.
Yeah.
And again, missed a chance. And then we've conceded a shit goal. They've gone down to 10 men. They should have been probably down to 9. They were absolute set of fouling, cheating, game-spoiling twats. They weren't there to play football. They were there to frustrate and to break the game up. And they pulled off their game plan, all fairness to them. Their new gaffer is doing a good job with them.
He is.
He's walked in and seems to have changed a lot of what's going on there. And he seems to have plugged a lot of the gaps. You know what I mean? That was my worry about that game. And to me, because of that, purely because of that new variable, there were a little bit of an unknown about it for me. It could have been a banana skin, and so it proved. And I think you sort of touched on it right at the beginning there. I were going to come on and say sort of the same thing, that we were never going to win every game between now and the end of the season. We were never going to win every game. It just doesn't happen. It's the Championship. There's always a bullshit game like that. And that game yesterday had like Wigan vibes for me. It just didn't feel like we were going to get anything. I suppose even getting a point in them circumstances is good, but it's sad to see when you've got all that attacking talent and there's just no one turned up. And I don't know if that's a cup hangover. And again, Leicester still have cup games. We now don't. I don't know if that's what it is or what. I mean, we will have raised our level to play against Chelsea.
Yeah.
And it's not unreasonable that they might be tired after that, but there were players that also didn't play in that game, like Rutter and stuff, who should have probably done better, but I don't know. It kind of is what it is, isn't it?
It is, but you also need to reflect on that Chelsea game and the players that were unavailable for it. And we all, I think to a man, to a person, should I say, we all went, oh, Daniel, we see what you're doing. We know that you're just resting those. But what if they were all actually carrying injuries? And it was so important in the league that we play them, that we've played them, but they were all somewhat below par might be unfair. I would say about par, because actually they've been playing above themselves for large amounts of the season and certainly over the 9 preceding league games. So maybe they just didn't look quite as dynamic, quite as capable going forward. Because actually all four of them that started in the front four had been carrying a knock. So, you know, it's one of them for me. I think we've gone away from home in a local derby against a side that traditionally always, always gets up for this game.
It's the first game they look for when the fixtures come out, isn't it? Let's make no mistake.
Absolutely that. So I think, you know, it's been built up in the media about the record and whatever else. So ignore it as much as they can, and the coaching staff are going to know that they're on this record-breaking run. Farker had been asked about it a couple of times, and he was saying, you know, game at a time. But it still ramps up some of that pressure, because now you've got something to protect, not just desperate for the number of points you can get. You've also
You're
trying to protect. And I don't know, I think if you reflect on the game, if you look at... Rutter had a shot towards the end of the first half that just flew past the post. Bamford had one that went past the other post. Somerville's hit the post. Kamara, God knows, early on. You know, if that chance goes in, when it's fallen to Kamara and he's about 8 yards out and he's stood on his own with ball at his feet and he's going, shit, I need to find somebody to pass to, otherwise I'm going to have to shoot. If we take that chance at that point in time, it feels very different. I think the fact that they got their noses in front, regardless of the red card, the fact that they got their noses in front made a big difference to the balance of the game and the way that they were going to play. Because it felt to me like it was a case of, let's just get free kicks in their area. We'll get the big lads up. We'll put it in the mixer. We'll play dodge ball. You know, we'll put it in the mixer and we'll just play low block. You know, we'll just spoil, upset, you know, break up the game. They did it. Really, really well.
Yeah.
But for anybody that doesn't like that sort of football as a neutral, or anybody that's playing against that with better players, it's going to frustrate. And therefore, we all feel frustrated because they did it well.
You could change that from anybody who, you know, likes that as a neutral to anybody with eyes.
Yeah.
Anybody with eyes could see how
his job has gone into just shit as many points as he can out of the remaining fixtures, isn't it? You know, they are still right down there. They are joint on points with Stoke, who are in the bottom three.
That's all he's right there to do.
Yeah.
He's there to scrape by whatever means possible enough points to keep him in the league.
And it is by any means necessary.
Their fans won't give a shit that they won that. Well, I can say won that game, that they got that point by.
It feels to them like they won it, though, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, it does. And I mean, if Leicester fans want to moan about our celebrations, then you know, let's talk about Huddersfield's celebrations because fuck me.
Yeah, I am a bit worse for wear. I have just opened a tinny, but it's not a tin of lager. It's trying to get me going. I've finished my pint of coffee and I'm a monster now.
If Monster wants to sponsor us, we'll happily drink that on these morning BNCs.
I think just on balance, I get it, and it does feel really negative on the face of it. But ultimately, the fact that not everybody else picked up maximum points around us, that's the biggest deal for me.
Yeah, that's it. I'm just going to pull this comment from Stu, Nick. That game was like a dodgy away game in Eastern Europe in 1976. That's just what Huddersfield's like, Stu. It's like being in like 70s.
I think that's what it meant. Just the surrounding area and all of that. That's just what it felt like.
I've got the table up here, actually. We'll just pull it up and have a look while we talk about this. If I can do it in reasonable time. But yeah, I mean, when you look at that there now, we're 2 points behind Ipswich. You can't quite see Leicester's points because of our graphic, but they're on 78. We've closed down to them by another point. We're chasing the title at this point, so we have gained on the top spot. Cheers, Matt. It was bothering you, that, wasn't it? So we've closed the point on top spot. It was a shite game. We didn't lose it. I mean, this would be a very different podcast if we'd lost that game. I'd be fuming.
It would, I mean? But look at that goal difference as well. You know, we're 3 goals behind Leicester now.
Yeah.
And that felt insurmountable. You know, we were over 10 goals behind them 3 games ago.
We were.
So the fact that they've lost their games and we've won ours, we've drawn them in further on points. They're now looking at us. They're looking at Ipswich and they're thinking, oh, shit, we've been, you know, their fans are going, shit, we've been celebrating winning title for months. What's going on here? We've been pulled back into it. And that's the point, you know, when we beat them, we came from behind and we celebrated that. We were celebrating, actually, bringing them fully into the mix. Because if they're 12 points clear, it's done. Job done.
Yeah,
no exactly. Choice about it.
That would have been that.
So I think, you know, looking at the table, I mean, look at the two teams right down at the bottom there. You've got Huddersfield Town joint on 38 points with Stoke. And I think anybody that thinks that... So when you look at... football related accounts that are putting out the remaining fixtures and the run-ins and all of that sort of thing. What they're doing is they're blending together all of the opposition to work out the average league position of the teams that are remaining. And ours are lowest. And I think it was Saints that were highest in terms of the average league position of the opponents they've left to play.
Yeah.
But the teams that we're playing against, Huddersfield, Stoke and so on, they're fighting for their lives. They're fighting to stay in this division. You know, it's not like it's a dead rubber and it's an easy game because they're down at the bottom of the league and you know there's no relegation. It's not like it doesn't work like that. So I think towards the end of the season, the only potentially easy games that you get on the face of it are the ones that are in mid-table that have really nothing left to play for. It's not the ones down at the bottom that are fighting for their lives.
No, that's it. I'll try to click on Ipswich just to look at the running, but it's not letting me click on them. It normally does on this... on this website. It's doing my head in. Bastards. Let's just see who they've got next. Let's have a look. So they've got Bristol City next. They should win that, really. But Cardiff
Bristol City is not an easy fixture, but they're playing them at home, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Blackburn could be tricky, but again, they're not great. Wednesday, I expect them to beat. Now, this game here could be real significant for us. Ipswich versus Southampton, because we've still got a 3-point buffer at Southampton and we've got better goal difference, so it's effectively 4 points. So I think if things are as they are now going into that weekend, we're looking for a Southampton win there, surely.
Yeah.
Or a draw.
Or a draw, so there's 4 points handed out, yeah.
Norwich, that's a derby game for them. They could lose that.
There's so much football left to play and so many permutations of what could happen and when. I think, you know, it sounds trite and it sounds like it's just a trope, but it is just a case of concentrating on your next game and just seeing where you end up.
Yeah, that's it. They've still got Hull away as well. That could be a dodgy fixture for them.
Yeah.
They are kind of, we're talking about sort of we scraped through that yesterday, but they are scraping every game at the moment, Ipswich. Like, when they do win, they seem to be scoring lucky goals or getting a bit of luck.
Yeah. And nobody saw QPR getting a win against Leicester at Leicester.
No, exactly.
No one saw that coming.
And that is the Championship, and that's what's going to happen to all of us.
Yeah. So imagine how much worse it would feel if we'd have played Town at home
and
been beaten rather than playing them at theirs and getting a draw.
Yeah, exactly. And if that had happened as well, and Leicester had won, and Ipswich had won, Southampton had won, that would have been a really bad weekend. As it is, I don't want to say we got away with it because we have lost a league position, but we kind of got away with it. It could have been worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we should have gone there and won. I'm not going to pretend we shouldn't. We're in damage limitation mode this morning, aren't we? And just trying to find a positive out of it.
It's not all bad. I think the positive is that we did more than enough to win that game anyway. You know, we didn't impress upon them as much as we should have done, especially when you consider the side that we ended up with out when we had three wingers and three strikers all playing together. If you consider, because Anthony came on towards the end, didn't he? So that were an additional winger, and he came on for Firpo, and that changed the kind of the makeup of the side. But they were doing nothing but defending at that point. It were just two banks of five. That's all it was. Two banks of five. Just come at us. And if you break us down, fair play. But I think for me, I wanted the changes made at halftime. And I know we've spoken before about how long it takes to make the changes. You know, I'm tweeting at 55 minutes, Daniel, we know the changes that are needed. Get James on. Get Roberts on.
Yeah,
and just change that right-hand side, because we could see that we could get out of them. Everything we're trying to go through, Somerville and Ruta on the left-hand side, and we weren't making the inroads that we wanted. Somerville looked lively when we got on the ball towards the end of the game, but that's because we then made the changes, because then they've got to defend against Roberts and James.
Yeah, that's it. You need James on to stretch a 10-man team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, we spoke about against Leicester at half-time, I was saying we need a threat in behind. That threat in behind, especially when Bamford is playing, is you can play off him and you can get James and you can get Somerville in front of him.
Yeah.
Nonto doesn't seem to do that. He seems to hold his position, and whether he's told to or not, you know, we don't know that bit. But he holds that position. He wants the ball and then he's going to run in. Whereas James will just make the runs that harm the opposition and make them think about it.
Yeah. We played some piss poor balls for James.
We did.
Like he was chasing him as he does, but he had no chance getting to some of the stuff that
we did. And Roberts was absolutely fuming that he wasn't getting the ball enough.
Yeah.
And he was kicking off and he was shouting at him and he got the ball and then he scored.
And that's what you want. And you want players like that. He seems to get leads, does Roberts. He's just fit right in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was my other tweet in the second half was Roberts is a lad.
Yeah, it's the kind of character that we needed in the side. Yeah. And if you're going to take out a big personality like Luke Ayling, then putting somebody in with their own big personality is, you know, that's a win-win for me.
Yeah.
And the fact is he's a good player as well. He's looked great when he's come on.
He has. And he's desperate for the ball. And that's sometimes that's what you need as well. Because if you've got a group of players that have struggled to break a side down, and then somebody come on with wanting the ball, and we were finding pockets of space as well. You're thinking, right, okay. And it just gives that additional bit of impetus back to the players that are on the pitch as well. So, I don't know. I'm pleased for Paddy. He got his goal. He were having a few people knocking him in first half. And I was looking at him and I was thinking, is that fuck all feed off?
Right footed as well.
Well, but it was one of those goals that is a striker that has read the play and has then physically dominated the defender that they're up against to get himself in the right position and finish it off. It was a scrappy goal because it was 2 yards out, whatever else. But he's battled to get into the right position, and he, for me, it was worth that goal just from that. But he had very little to go off.
You can tell he's mentally back where he was now, though, because like we've seen him miss those chances like that when nothing would go his way.
Yeah,
but he still puts himself in. He still goes for it, and things seem to be coming off now. Like he looks like he's got his eye in now. He knows what he's doing again. He's back up to speed.
Yeah, and I think it is that he scores in he gets on a run and then he scores in batches, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah.
So I think it'll be really interesting to see how we take on the next game. I think it was a bit disappointing to me that Dan James didn't start. It was also disappointing to me that he didn't come on at half time.
Yeah.
Just because I think that when it is going to be a side that's going to play deep, he's the one that worries them. And it is that threat in behind. And I think that the deeper they drop, the more space we'll find in midfield.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's where Rutter, Somerville, and Dan James himself, that's where they can hurt the opposition. And I think that's what we didn't really do, is we didn't drag them out of their positions enough.
Yeah. Definitely. When they're stretched with 10 men, that's exactly what you should be doing. Yeah. But they never looked like they had 10 men the way we were playing. They didn't look like they had 10 men. They were still sort of doubling up Somerville. We were still we were getting into these little cul-de-sacs with the ball where we've got a group of them around us and we're not passing it out of there, or we're making mistakes. You know, we weren't exploiting the space on the pitch. And when you see that goal against Plymouth, Warwick, where Willie stood fucking miles away on the other wing and Rooter boots it right over, like there were nothing like that. There were no switching play or anything like that. And it were a little bit disappointing. They did look tired.
They did.
And that's understandable, but it didn't help us, you know.
Yeah, and that could be down to the fact that, you know, if those players that were reportedly injured for the Chelsea game and unavailable had not trained, then, you know, that then is understandable. I think the main concern for me off the back of that then is, well, are they going to be fully fit for Stoke? It's midweek. You know, we don't have a week to get them back to where they should be physically. So, and that is another one there where actually, does that become more of a pressing concern in that game? Because they're going to play in exactly the same way. It's exactly what they did at their place early in the season. Is they disrupted our game, spoiled us, kicked the shit out of Rutter and Somerville. And it worked. Yeah.
It worked. They do. That's the worry. They do have a handle on how to disrupt us. So it is worrying. Yeah. But we're a different proposition at home. Like that game yesterday, if we were at home, we won that game. Do you know what I mean?
Very definitely.
It wouldn't have happened. I'm not worried about Stoke any more than I worry about any other game. I always have that little niggle of, what if we blow this? What if we fuck it up? But I'm not going into that game thinking, oh God, we're going to lose or we're not going to win. I still fully expect business as usual when we play them. I just...
Yeah.
If Farker has to chase them around the training ground on a golf cart with a cattle prod to get them fit, then, do you know what I mean? Whatever it takes, I don't care. But I expect business as usual. I'm not worrying about that game so much.
Yeah, and we are a different proposition at home, you're right. Mm. I think for me, there were a couple of things, you know, just to touch on the changes again. I was a bit surprised, you know, there's a comment in, I think it might have been Bryn, this one here. Surprised they didn't move Rutter left wing to stretch them on the left foot in front line bar. Bamford could have chucked Joseph into the box as another alternative. I was a bit surprised, actually, that it was a Pirro that came on and not Joseph, based on the goals he'd scored against Chelsea, and based on the fact that actually what I would play Joseph on the last man and drop Bamford slightly deeper because he's better on ball and he's deceptively fast.
That will
naturally move them around. So I think rather than Pirro, that kind of for me he's somewhere between a 9 and a 10. He doesn't actually have a position, and that's difficult for me. He's not as good on the ball as Rutter or Somerville. He's not fast like Bamford or James.
Yeah,
I'm not seeing where it would be impactful for Pirro to come on. Whereas with Joseph, you put him on your last man, you get him knocking him about because he played. You know, against Chelsea, we're fearless. He'll get in there and he'll mix it up. And so I don't know. For me, that would have been the change rather than Pirro. But either way, I think the changes just needed to be earlier.
Yeah. I think the thing with Joseph and Pirro is Pirro's the established first team player, so he probably feels an obligation to bring him on ahead of Joseph. Like, you know, he might get disgruntled if he's not. I guess so, but I'm just trying to think of reasons why at the moment. But yeah, because he did so well against Chelsea, Joseph, and he looked like a proper striker. He was in all the right places for stuff. Like, he nearly scored that third one when the ball, he tried to take it and he sort of chested it, bodied it. He just couldn't do anything because he was so close to the goal. But he were in the right places. And I'd like to see a bit more of him after that. That was like his breakout performance for me, because we've seen little cameos from him and he's not really done much. He's not had much opportunity to do much, to be fair to him. But when he got a chance, he took it for me. So that should be rewarded. He should have got some minutes in that game if we were going to bring another striker on. Yeah, it's a bit of a downer that.
Yeah, it were a bit deeper, wasn't it? So it was kind of between an 8 and a 10 more than anything else, which didn't feel like that's what we needed. So it would have been a bit strange. It would have an odd decision. I also wanted to touch. I know that you retweeted it, but one of the other tweets that I put out is actually before the game. I'd identified Hogg would be an issue in this game.
Oh yeah.
I think that very, very much they'd been told to target Somerville and Rutter.
Oh, absolutely.
I think he saw a chance to take Rutter to take Somerville out. Absolutely did. I feel sorry for Nakayama, but that felt like karma that they'd gone in to hurt our players and one of their players had got hurt.
Absolutely. Live by the sword, die by the sword.
Well, exactly. And he is that sort of prick. He absolutely is that sort of prick.
Oh, yeah.
So I think the fact that he's been sent off, that's great. I hope that gets them relegated, actually, because they'll be playing without the captain for... And now, he's very, very lucky that went straight red, because that's...
It should have been. It should have been.
He saw him, and
stuck his elbow out.
Absolutely.
That's intent. He did it on purpose.
So, for me, that's an easy decision for the referee to make because he's on a yellow. Well, I sent him off. Yeah, but he should have been a straight red.
Exactly. So, should have been a three-game ban.
Yeah, I think that it's one of them. Actually, when they were trying to play football, that Rodoni, actually, he played well against us. And there were a couple of times, there were a fizzing shot that he had in first half that Melia saved. I mean, it was a comfortable height, but he did it so well and so cleanly.
You think,
that could have flown in.
Yeah, that was a good effort, that.
It was. I think, you know, that their goal, very much like the Leicester goal, is it's from a corner. We've not dealt with the first ball. We're not there for the second ball. Melier did well to keep it out, but then they're just quickest to react. Actually, Firpo was really quick to react, but he were just a yard further away from the ball, so he couldn't get there. I'm not certain, but I think every goal in the league, at least, that we've conceded since the turn of the year has been from a set piece.
I thought you were going to say has been shit.
Well, they have.
Shit goals. I totally agree with you. It's just, it was such a frustrating game, man. There's a comment here that I was going to bring up a while back, actually, from Simon Coley, and he says, Farker tried everything, but like you said, ball only in play 20 minutes. That guy's still tying his fucking laces. Come on. I mean, that was mental, wasn't it? The keeper's fake injury. The guy tying his fucking laces for about 5 minutes. It were a masterclass in filth.
Yeah. They did do it well.
It were just, if you want to come to the championship and grind out a result against a team you got no right to grind a result out against, that's how you do it. And it ain't pretty, but it's effective.
Yeah, exactly, like, that.
Best way to stop a good football inside is make sure there's barely any football being played. I mean, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think I only saw the stat from the first half, but I think that's the least that the ball's been in play in any half of football since the season started.
Shades of that Wolves game in the Premier League when they came to Elland Road. Do you remember? And they were in play for about like 26, 27 minutes or something. It were like that.
Yeah, no, it were awful. And I think the biggest thing to take from that game is we don't have to watch that every week. You know, Huddersfield Town fans are ecstatic that they've been able to end our run and that they've been able to get a point from us at their place and whatever else.
Yeah.
But they have to watch that football and we don't.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And they may have like rammed my season ticket price up by over 100 quid, but at least I get to watch our football. You know, small mercies and all that. Job's about to come to an end at end of March. I've got to fork out for that now. So cheers, Leeds.
If you want to put it back into the pool and let somebody else have a go, that's fine.
No, you're all right, mate. You're all right. I'll look after it. I'll find a way.
So I think just to extend on the point, Hogg is a prick and fully deserved to be sent off. Should have been sent off with a straight red. But I thought that Pearson was very lucky not to get sent off as well. He absolutely raked his studs down the back of Somerville's leg. When Somerville went down, it were like, what's up with him? I've not touched him. And it were dirt, properly dirty, really was.
It's terrible.
Ward got away with one. There were a high ball, and that were an elbow. That Pearson, again, was the one that smashed Willie Nonto in the ribs. Now, it's Willie Nonto. So we can't be sure whether he's hurt or not, because for me, he still goes down far too easily. But at the same time, he has taken him out.
We can't help it. They're brought up that way, aren't they?
He had taken him out. And he didn't get booked for that one. And he did get a booking. I can't remember if it was I don't even think it was the Somerville one. And he was complaining about, well, why are they falling over? And some of their fans are doing the same thing now. We'll come on to that on the main pod, I think. But, I think, you know, the fact that we've played against a side that's got Tom Lees in it for a start, the fact that all they have is Sauber Thomas's free kicks, which aren't particularly good. You know, the goal that they scored from, that should be defended.
Absolutely.
It wasn't an amazing ball in. It was the ball that you expect them to play. I think there were a lot... you know, that I don't know how you pronounce his name. It's a shame Carl's not here, but he's Berg.
We need Carl for these.
Yeah. Burger sauce. Something like that. Burger sauce. Yeah. Call him that. I thought there were a really late challenge. He didn't even get booked, and they hooked him just after that, and that Coroma came on for him. So they, you know, genuinely really lucky not to be down to nine, if not worse.
100%. 100%. And you know all they would have done if they'd been down nine would have just been sit everyone in front of a box. You know, it probably still wouldn't have been any easier the way they were playing, but
true.
They got away with a lot.
They did, but I think that's five bookings if you include both of the cards that Hogg was showed, which I think automatically kicked in a review of their behaviour.
Failing to control your players, you get a fine, don't you?
Yeah. Whereas I think the only one that we got, which was absolutely mystifying to him and to me, was Rutter. Like,
yeah, I remember that.
What?
It was like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, I think we all were, weren't we?
That was a strange one.
He must have felt like he had to book someone from Leeds, otherwise it'd look bad, is all I can think.
Yeah, I think if it is that, what I would have liked is when we were going up for a corner or whatever, is Rodon. So very different levels, I know. But what I would have done is I would have steamed straight through that Pearson.
Is there?
He's there. There we go. going up for a corner, if I'd have been rode on, I'd have looked for Pearson and gone, right, okay, you're getting it on this. I don't care where the ball's going. You're getting smashed. And I'd have steamed through him.
Absolutely.
That might be the only disappointment for me, which might seem counterintuitive because
that's a Sunday league player in you, Gilly.
Well, yeah. But
I'm going to fucking get him.
Yeah, exactly that. Especially if I've seen them smash one of our smaller players, right? You're getting it next because I'm not putting up with that, and you know that you're in the battle now. And
too
I think that's the only thing for me, and it might just be because Farker's professionalism more than anything else, and he's gotten well drilled to just focus on the football. But when it's attritional like that, and they are behaving in that way, I think they need it back. But you know, the side that we've got is far too good to be doing that against them, I suppose.
I was surprised, actually, how disciplined we were.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we didn't get drawn into any scraps or anything, and they were definitely up for that. They were trying.
And I think that is a positive, But I would have loved somebody to go steaming through someone, I won't lie.
I reckon Farker probably pulled them all in and had a specific word about that sort of thing after Melier got sent off against Preston.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But you know, if you look at the players that we've had over our history, and the players that actually we've idolized while at the club, I will say, because one of the ones I'm gonna mention afterwards ruined that for me. But you look at Batty, you look at Calvin, you look at Alan Smith, and they would have gone straight through somebody, but they would have probably got sent off.
I know which one you're going to say ruined it afterwards.
Well, yeah. Little scummer, innit? But, you know, all of the players that that have been my favourite players throughout the time, Berra, Batty, Calvin, you know, they're all players.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
That add that edge to them that you know that actually they can go do that to someone. And I think I would have quite liked to have seen somebody get steam through.
and you knew as well, like what you were saying, if like somebody is like trying to, let's say, bully one of the smaller players on the team or something, like a Batty wouldn't have stood for that, would he? He'd have made a point to go and make sure that bloke knows not to do that again. He'd have dealt with him.
Yeah,
you know, so, but we don't really have that at the moment. We've got players who fight for the team. They're all in. They care. You know, you can tell they love the club and playing for it. But we don't have like a nasty bastard, do we?
No, and that's probably a positive, but not the way
it probably is. Because you know they'd love to give us red cards if there were a chance.
So it's an interesting juxtaposition, that, because I respect the professionalism for not getting drawn into that. But at the same time, I want somebody to go.
You want to see it, but you don't want any consequences from it.
Yeah, exactly that. So
I'm just going to grab these comments that I started before, because they'll just build up otherwise, and I'll never go back to them. So we got one early on from Joe Bedford saying, not going into doom and gloom phase, but emotionally it feels like a loss to me. So that's pretty much how we feel, I think. Bandy says, as an ex-coach, I can tell you it was a combination of our come down from Chelsea, the huge weight of the 10-0 record, and Huddersfield's fight for survival that did us. And yeah, I mean, I can totally get that. It's like a perfect storm, and it's wrong team at the wrong time, in a way, with everything going on. Another one from Bandy saying, a point in the way derby match is a point earned. Again, sound logic. Friend of the pod, Johnny Brown. He'll be knee-deep in shit in his bar, just rolling around on the floor after a heavy night, probably. Standard footballer talk here. Let's take one game at a time, worry about ourselves first. Absolutely, Johnny. Joe Bedford, she says, I'm not sure a rookie ref in his first season refereeing the championship should have been taking charge of that game last night, but I don't blame him for the result. I mean, I didn't realise you were a rookie ref in his first season. I always forget to read Joe's bloody ref thing, which she does, which is very good.
They are good. It's great that she takes the time, because it's some real insight to the man in the middle, and it gives you a bit of an impression, and she gives a bit of detail on prior games that they've had.
It's good because it's a bit of insight you don't get any otherwise.
I don't know. I get the point in terms of experience and whatever else, and always knowing that, you know, being at the local derby and being that Hogg was going to be on the pitch and whatever else. I think it's it's fair on reflection to go, well, should it have been given to somebody that doesn't have the level of experience? But at the same time, I didn't think I certainly didn't think he was unfair. I didn't think he did that badly. I thought he was relatively poor for both teams.
Somebody said that in the comments.
I think it's the consistency that we're looking for. If he's going
on that note as well,
I'd not seen that.
No, I haven't.
So Matt Leeds is just in the comments saying, "What about the Huddersfield player after the game saying the ref was against us?" I mean, Leeds, I would get.
Yeah.
Wow, there's a thing. I don't know. I guess that might be just part of the entire ethos that they're adopting at the moment of us against the world. We've done that in the past. So. When we've been really shit, we've done that and we've gone, right, well, we can only look after ourselves. We'll moan about everything going against us and we'll say that we're up for the fight and all of that sort of stuff.
It's a powerful thing if you get everyone on the same page with that mentality. Yeah. Look at what Dennis Wise did, man. A shit manager like him. Got us back from minus 15 in no time because it was just Steve's mentality.
I take your point.
Well, yeah, I know, but he officially was the manager, wasn't he? But yeah, Siege mentality, it works when you're in the shit and you're in the trenches, man, and you're in a fucking boat with a bucket with an hole in it. You know what I mean? Siege mentality is the only thing you've got.
Yeah.
You're not going to suddenly turn a bad team into a good team overnight. So you've got to get mentally strong and ready to stand up, haven't you? That's all you can do. It's more man management than it is sort of technical coaching in that situation, if you know what I mean. It's just getting everyone on the same page. That's it. And he's done a good job with that as their manager. But, you know, we have to be able to beat teams like that. We're going to get a few teams like that now between now and end of the season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Farker tends to go away and learn from stuff, from what I've seen. He generally makes his subs earlier these days than he used to, usually. And there's little things where he has adapted when things have happened. He's like changed Pirro and Ruta about, despite saying, no, this is how it's going to be. And he is open to taking stuff on.
I think
and
close to that.
There is some flexibility in there.
Yeah, but I think that's Bamford coming in, and therefore he had to play Ruta at 10 because Pirro wasn't in, Bamford was.
Because you're Bamford not going to play Bamford at 10.
Well, yeah, and he's just done, potentially, he's just done that bit better than he expected him to. And for me now, you know, there was a comment about I'm surprised I didn't put Rutter on the left, but he's played so well in that position that it's difficult. So I think it's one of them. You know, we've got our next three games are Stoke, Sheffield Wednesday, Millwall, and they're going to be attritional games. Stoke are going to want to come and spoil because they got some joy out of that earlier in the season. Sheffield Wednesday is another derby. They think they're as big a club as us. But they're right down there and they're screwed in terms of the league positions and whatever else. So they're going to want a battle. Millwall's always a battle. So, you know, that's going to be the pattern of games. You know, beyond that, we've got Watford that'll be, you know, I just expect us to get 3 points. That'll be a fairly straightforward game. And then we've got Hull.
But you just never know.
You never know. But then we've got Hull. You know, and they're going to want a battle with us. So it's going to be
another
like
side
out to the end of the season.
Another side that looks for our game, and you know that's what they were looking forward to.
But
and they're trying to get in the playoffs, aren't they? They're on a little push to try and secure a place for themselves. So it's not an easy run. It's all teams that we should be able to beat, but that I would predict we're probably going to lose one game at least in this run, possibly two. I don't think we're going to win everything, but we could. We've got the capability, but. As we've seen this weekend, it's just not the way it goes in Championship. You don't win all your games. You just don't. You just have to hope you do better than teams around you. Like somebody said in the comments before, like football coach talk, you know, worry about ourselves one game at a time. That's all you can do. And Farker's kind of, he's espoused that mentality, hasn't he? He's been talking about that kind of thing. Not bother about table, not bother what anyone else is doing. We just care about what we're doing and we work with each other and we fix things we've done and we're not bothered what anyone else is doing. And that's, you know, that's the way forward, I think. That's all you can do now. We have to get another run going now. But as you said, we're kind of still on a run because we're still unbeaten. So just pick themselves up and go again.
You know, we're unbeaten, I think, still at home all season.
Yeah.
We're unbeaten since the turn of the year. Home and away in the league. So, you know,
We're scoring lots of goals generally.
Yeah, and the only side to have beaten us literally has spent over £1 billion on their playing squad. And they beat us by one goal. You know, there's a lot of positives to be taken from this.
They didn't look like there were that much of a gap, did they?
No, between us and them.
So they had a bit more pace and a bit more technical skill. And that was about it for me, really. They weren't like a superior team, like echelons above us.
And it wasn't our first 11. You know, quite some distance away from being our first 11. And I said, so, you know, there are a lot of positives we can take from the position that we find ourselves in now.
Absolutely. And I think,
you know, Ipswich have won 5 on the bounce. Fine. Mm. Keep that going to the end of the season and you're up. And do you know what? But, if they do that, you know,
Ipswich had a run of 1-10 or something.
Yeah.
Whereas we had a run of, 1-10.
Yeah, and everything else.
Won all the rest. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not sitting here worried that everybody else is going to win all the games either, because they're not.
Exactly that. Exactly
and,
that.
You know me, if something's bad, I'm straight down in dumps, like, oh, it's the end of the world, it's a disaster. And I were upset yesterday. I were like, oh, we've fucking blown it. You know, I didn't mean like for the season, just losing our position and
that
stuff.
Opportunity and, for 3 points.
Yeah, we have to come from behind again. But we've shown time and time again we can do it. We've chased down massive points gaps.
We have not realistic team in the league for picking up points from losing positions.
It's not realistic to close a gap that big, then just carry on winning. You're still going to have your little setbacks, but we've come so far forward. Yeah. You can lose a game as long as you pick yourself back up, because everyone else will lose a game. You just got to keep going, not worry about it too much.
There's a couple of questions in the comments. First one here. Does Bamford score more goals than the Lazy Dutchman? I'm assuming fucking from that, hell. I mean, Perot, not Somerville.
He just might at this point.
So, actually, largely, I think that's not even relevant. And the reason that I say that is, so I think he will, but I think that because of the impact that Paddy has when he's on the pitch, even when he's not scoring goals, he's creating more opportunity for the players around him than Perot is, because he's affecting the game more.
He's always done that, though, hasn't he?
He has. And, you know, under Bielsa, when he went through non-scoring positions, I think lots and lots of the fan base were going, but look at the way that we play with him compared to the way that we play without him. And I think it's still true.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, Perot's much younger. I think Perot's 23, 24. He looks like he's quite a bit older than that, but he's not. He's still a young player. And
It looks like he's like 28, 29 or something, doesn't he? Like, he's pushing 30.
And he looks good.
he does. I think maybe his mum smoked a lot. I don't know. Who knows?
Well, they are Dutch. You never know.
Exactly.
I think if you look at where Paddy was 5 years ago, before Bielsa got hold of him, or just at that point, and the career he'd had until that point, I think Perot's probably had the better younger career than Paddy had. But Paddy got to that level. So I think we're in that thing now where he's got room still to develop and grow as a player and to really get to grips with what position he's going to have. Whereas Paddy's had more of that. And he, you know, Paddy should be. Yeah, it will be, yeah.
Seven goals, he should be at his peak.
You know, this should be his peak period. And you know, Perot's 4 or 5 years off what his peak is going to be. So he's got room to develop and grow. So I don't want to write him off just now. I think part of the problem is actually the shape and the setup that we've got doesn't really lend itself to Perot's game.
Mm. It's a bit like when Billy Sharp played for us, isn't it? Like, you knew the guy could finish, but in our system, it just didn't really work. It was kind of like buying a striker because he had good numbers, but no kind of regard for whether he actually fit.
Yeah.
And the Pirou signing now feels a bit like that. But at the time we signed him, I were over the moon, man. I were well pleased. Yeah. I thought promotion guaranteed with this guy. But he just keeps like, he gets put in the 10 and then his link-up plays poor. Or he'll suddenly get an opportunity on the edge of the box, which is meant to be his fucking wheelhouse. Yeah. And he's blasting it into fucking space. I mean, I don't know if his confidence is just a bit low or what, or if he's been putting someone else's boots on, but, you know, something's not quite right. And there's probably a lot of pressure on him because he feels like he has to score whenever he gets a chance now, because pressure is mounting. And it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Who were it that we had? I can't remember. Did he go back to Watford? I can't remember who we had. But we had somebody that had been top scorer the previous season, and we signed him and put him up wing. And then he left us and went back to Watford and scored a boatful of goals again. And he was like, you know, we've got to get the position right for him to be able to have the impact.
Who was that? I can't think who that would be. Anyone in the comments there? My memory's really shit, so it's going to bother
Danny
me
Webber,
now.
It?
Can't be, can it? Marlon King.
Marlon King.
We did sign him, didn't we? King.
Yeah.
Was it him that ended up in prison? Or am I thinking of someone else?
Don't know.
There was a football around that time period. I'm sure it was him, but I could be wrong. I could be thinking of someone else. Luther Blissett, someone says.
Yeah, he won't Luther Blissett. So he scored a boatful of goals for Watford, but no, that wasn't who I was thinking of.
I don't think anyone in our pod has ever watched Luther Blissett in person there, but I'd say it's not that one. I don't know what else to say, to be honest, Gilly. I think we're getting close to the end here. We've kind of gone over it. Have you got what else you want to go through?
Well, I was just thinking then, actually, in terms of our fixtures, Tuesday is Stoke, so we're not going to have another main pod before that. So just in terms of the expected lineup, I guess, if we just want to touch on that.
Okay, yeah. Good idea, yeah.
Because we're not going to have another podcast before we play Stoke now. So, That's
a good point. We'll probably be on Wednesday, I guess, won't we?
It will be, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be a combined BNC and main pod on Wednesday night, probably.
Good stuff.
So, yeah, I guess it's a case of, do we make the changes that we expect, or do we stick with the starting 11? It's a tough one.
Do you think Dan James comes back in?
He would for me.
I'm torn on this.
I would
start. None of those look good recently, but James was so good before his injury.
I'm going to say something slightly controversial here.
Oh, shit. There we go. You're going to put Cooper in.
I think
in.
If Willie Monto had not been scoring the goals that he's been scoring, it would have highlighted the poor run that Jimmy Somerville's been on.
Do you reckon?
Because he's been pretty massively off the boil for the past five or six games.
I agree with that. And that one, he hit the post yesterday. I had him to have two shots on target as well, and he fucked me. I lost about 40 quid in bets on Leeds yesterday. I expected us to win that game. I had a few things on. I was like, yeah, I'm going to make some money today. And I got
so I just had one on. Confident. I had one on. Hog to get booked, obviously.
Yeah.
Had it a score, which I got. But I got Rutter to get an assist and Leeds to score and there to be more than two goals. So if Rutter had assisted anybody after what had happened, if Rutter had assisted anybody, I'd have 150 quid off a fiver.
You'd have been quids then. Fucking yeah. It makes you fucking mad, doesn't it? It's just, ah! Because it should be happening.
Yeah, but having said that, I'd still be playing Somerville. Because it's Nonto that would drop out for me. But I'd be playing Gray and I'd be playing Gray in midfield.
Yeah.
Because I think those sides that drop off...
Roberts.
I'd be doing the same with Alisson. So Alisson, in the comments, you're saying play Roberts and James. So I would be the same. I would be putting Gray into midfield. I'd be dropping Kamara and I'd be playing Roberts and I'd be playing James in front of him.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone's on the same page, I think.
Yeah, probably said the same, yeah.
Looks like everybody wants to see Roberts in. Archie back in midfield. I mean, Eddie Gray had something to say about that as well, didn't he, apparently?
More than once.
That was a little bit disappointing.
Yeah. Bryn and I were talking in a different group chat, and it's worrying me slightly that Eddie's speaking that way, because it almost feels to me like they're preparing for him to have a move.
That's the worry, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the worry. You'd think somebody that loves the club like that, the family is so intertwined with Leeds United, you know, that you'd think that they'd be telling him stay at the club and develop and keep going, give it a few seasons, see where they are. But yeah, it's a bit strange to hear that.
It is. I just want to touch on something by Herbert. Yeah, not that one. Skip it was. I can't believe fans want Kamara dropped after one poor game. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I think that Gray's more effective in midfield, and what we need when there's that low block is less Kamara. So Kamara and Gruev, when there's teams that are going to play against us, are good at winning the ball and getting it to the quicker players so that we can hit teams on the break. I think they're really effective against sides that are going to set up to try and play football against us. Leicester, they both played really well in... Actually, I don't think they played really well. I think they both were effective at what they did. I didn't think Gruev had a particularly good game against Leicester, but he would drop in really deep, and that allowed Ampadu to really drive us forward from the left of defence. So I think they're really effective. I think they're quite intelligent in the way that they play the game, and they do whatever's needed. I think that we're going to have a lot of the ball against Stoke and a lot of the ball against Sheffield Wednesday. And I think when we're on the ball, Gray's going to be more effective in midfield than Kamara.
I think so.
So I think it's not necessarily that I'm going, right, he's had a poor game, hook him. It's more setting us up for success. I want to see more of Roberts. He's definitely got something about him. He's effective. He's played how many minutes? Less than 100 minutes. He's got 2 assists.
Kamara. And a goal.
No, Roberts.
Roberts, yeah.
He's
been great.
He's got a couple of assists and he's bagged a goal. It's like he's having an impact now.
Yeah, it seems to have sparked us into life each time he's come on as well.
And I think that him and James getting at fullbacks is really going to harm people. So it's less, right, Kamara's had one game, hook him, and it's more... I want to set us up for success. And I think that Gray in midfield and Roberts and James on the right is going to do that more for us. I think the only bit that could be a bit of a sticking point in that was Mark Edison here. Maybe James and Nonto to start and some of them come on in second half. He's clearly carrying an injury and not training. So that's the bit that we don't get to see. And if some of them, I think the comment was that he'd rolled his ankle and it was really swollen. If he's playing with that, and he's not as impactful because he's carrying an injury, fair enough. That's the bit that we don't get to see. But all being equal, I think I would be starting Somerville and James and allow Gruev and Gray in the middle.
Yeah, absolutely. Not sure what Joe's talking about here. What the chuff. Do enlighten us, Joe.
Something I've said, which, whatever it was.
I mean, do you think Gray's like the long-term... Click replacement, like same sort of position, or do you think he's slightly different?
You don't have the shit house to him, does he?
Not yet. I think he's got potential.
I think he's potentially, yeah. I think he's probably an A, isn't he? I think so.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
When Eddie talks about him and he talks about his position, he's saying longer term he's going to be a box-to-box midfielder.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the most... physically and technically demanding position in football.
He's got the engine for it.
I think he's going to get there. You know, he's got the athleticism. He doesn't have the strength yet, but he's a kid, so he's not gonna. But equally, he's very, very good at holding off opponents and looking after the ball as well. So I think long term, I think that is his position. I think if you look at the way that Click played under Bielsa. You know, he made the side tick, didn't he, at times? And when he played well, we played well. There were times that we played well without him playing well, but when he played well, we did. And I think that it could be that. I think, it's easy to get carried away. And we've had youth players before, and we've gone, oh, do you know what? These are going to just go to the, there's no ceiling. I think out of all of the youth players we've had, Gray is potentially the one with the highest ceiling of all of them.
Absolutely.
And you look at, the conversations that are taking place at the moment in the media and so on about comparing him with Bellingham.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot of people are saying he's had a better career to this age. He's had a better career than Bellingham. Now, that's not necessarily to say that he's going to become the best player in the world, as Bellingham probably is at the moment. But that's the level of capability shown to this point.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Bellingham's like a generational talent, isn't he? Gray could be up there, but I don't think he's anywhere near his level yet. But I think there's a potential to be that kind of player in there, depending on how he develops. And if we go up, if we go up and he's playing Premier League football, he's going to just come on leaps and bounds, because the way we've seen him sort of step up his game against opponents who are good wingers, and he just seems to level up when he has to.
Yeah.
And he gets there and he matches them. And we've seen him against players now where he's played the same people twice, because we've played certain teams twice, and like people that had him on toast initially, he's now bossing them. And that's in the space of like 6 months, you know what I mean? That's insane.
It is. And I think the only frustration might be a strong word. for it, because he is a young man, and it's a position that he's not used to, that he's still learning. And of course he's still learning, he's 17. But the only time that I've got frustrated during a game with him is when he's been up against the right-footed winger that's playing on the left, and he's allowed them to cut in instead of showing him down the wing. That's just experience. And Conor Roberts does not do that. Conor Roberts plays them on the outside, puts them on the weak foot, and goes, you know what, if you're going to beat me, fair. But I think when you look at the sides that have done that, so Jack Clarke at Sunderland, Preston did it as well. I think it's just that bit of experience, but he's learning from it, and he's benefiting from that, from playing.
Yeah.
I think there is a little bit of too many minutes, because, you know, he is a 17-year-old kid. But at the same time, you want your good players on the pitch, and he's absolutely, definitely one of them.
Is there a merit?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. I think we all want to see that, to be fair. I don't think there's any Leeds fan out there that don't want to see Gray play in midfield.
Yeah. Joe has updated. I don't know if you've seen.
I did. I brought it up, but you were in middle of what you were saying, so you didn't see it. Yeah. That's a crazy take.
Just read it out for audio pod listeners.
Yeah, so Joe Bedford said, someone saying send Archie out on loan if we go up, the comment above mine. That's what she was saying, what the chuff to before. Yeah, I mean, that's madness. I mean, that might even get into shit take of the week on Wednesday. Honestly, that's crazy, man. Do you really want to see him developing and being awesome for somebody else? And then if you've sent him on loan, he might get a taste of playing somewhere else, you know. You're not going to send him back to the Championship if we go up, because he's too good for that.
But yeah, so it was Stu, Nick. If we do go up, Archie should go out and load to top champs. I have guaranteed minutes in midfield. I think if we go up, he starts pretty much every game he's available for.
I think so too. I think he's just too good to send out somewhere else. I get what he's saying about like being the main man somewhere, playing every game, you know, being the midfield kingpin. But I don't want to see him play somewhere else. I don't think he needs that development step. I think he's that good that he could just step up with us, and he might be a little bit, you know, slow out of the blocks initially, because it's a fucking different level, is Premier League football. But there's no doubt in my mind he'll get there quickly.
I think if we send him out on loan, we don't see him again.
That's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if we send him out on loan for a season, then we go back down, we could end up with him never playing for our club again, because he'll get a move to a Premier League club while we come back down. I'd rather see him play that season in Premier League for us, if that's what might happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I think he would stay. And I think it's important that he does, because otherwise, you do put yourself in a position as a club where players will look at what their future is.
That's it.
Plus, there's talk already in the comments about Harry, who's also coming through. And I think there's an even younger one that's coming through as well.
Another one.
The future looks bright. Yeah, I think so. Wow. So the future looks bright.
But yeah, it does. And we just have to keep these players now. We have to make sure we match their ambition. That's it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you lose players, as we've seen. And unless we really take our foot off the gas at this point, we should go up.
Yeah. In my opinion. You know, that's the point we were making at the top of the pod, isn't it? Is we're in a position now where we're unbeaten all year in the league, which is 10 in a row, 9 of them wins. You know, we're on such a good run, and there's so much you can take from the game against Chelsea that there's no need for us to worry at this point, especially when you look at Leicester's run. You know, three defeats on the spin, especially when you look at comparing that with ours. Saints have lost 3 out of the last 5.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're not in the best of nick either. And you could quite conceivably see Southampton drop away at this point. And you could see them right in the mix.
Yeah, that's it. And we've never seen Maresca deal with any adversity yet. We don't know whether he'll be able to bring that back. We don't know whether... Diet Pep. We don't know whether he's got it in him to fix that. I mean, the team's that good that I expect that they will get back to winning ways sooner rather than later. But, you know, this is going to be uncharted territory for him and them. So who knows? Who knows how long this disruption could last? They could now... Either they could go on and win all the games again from here, or they could go on and have a terrible run where they're getting a win, then a draw, then a loss. You know, we just don't know. Like, anything could happen with them at this point.
Play both Ipswich and Leicester.
Yeah.
Now, if Saints win all of their games, let's put it this way. If anybody wins all of their games from now to the end of the season, they deserve to win it.
Absolutely.
And that's fine because all of the sides in that top four are playing somebody else in the top four at least once. You know, we've got Saints at the end of the season. What would be really brilliant is if they have to give us a guard of honour as we walk onto our own pitch. You know, it was brilliant against Derby where Rooney had to give us that. But
we can stay 3 points ahead of them till that game, we are sorted.
Yeah. We are. And I think, if you look at Saints' next run of fixtures, they've got Preston, they've got Sunderland. I mean, albeit it's a Sunderland without Jack Clark, who I don't think is as good as made out, but at the same time, a lot of their play goes through him. And then they've got Leicester.
Yeah, that's
actually,
it.
I think that might be a game that gets deferred because Leicester play Chelsea. But that just means that that pressure again in that game of Saints against Leicester, that just ramps up even more because it's going to be towards the end of the season. So
that's it. It's going to be for something.
Yeah, that's a tough run. And then Saints play Borough and then they play Ipswich at Ipswich. Yeah. So, you know, you do look at those fixtures. You know, it's not going to be easy. We can't take for granted the fact that we're playing against sides down at the bottom that are battling. But at the same time, you look at the run that the others have got and it's not possible for them all to win all of the fixtures because they're playing against each other.
Exactly. And that's the biggest positive for us in this final run, I think. We've got quite lucky in that regard, the way it's fallen.
It's not really lucky, is it? We're up there battling and have...
No, I just mean the fixtures we've got.
Yeah.
No, not that we're where we are, obviously. We've earned that. But the fixtures we have left, it's quite lucky that it's fallen the way it has because we know we can beat any of the teams we've got left to play. Yeah. We know we can. We've beat them all.
Well, that's it. And we've done that from Ipswich home and away. We've done Leicester.
Apart from Wednesday. Wednesday, we drew with them. But I expect us to win that. I don't expect another Huddersfield game, even though some people in the comments said they did.
but yeah, I think you look at our record against the other teams in the top four against us, and it's only Saints that we didn't show up for.
Yeah,
and we've only played them once, so we've got an opportunity to make that right, and that will be at home. And as you said earlier, we are a different proposition at home. But we've taken maximum points against the other two.
That's right. We've basically done as much as we can, really. I mean, you know, yesterday it's a freak, isn't it? It's one of them games that happens in the Championship. Just got to keep going. We're on the right track. Just keep doing our thing. I think we'll go up.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I am still really confident that we're in a good position, albeit it's not fully in our hands, because if Ipswich just go on that run that they continue and Leicester turn it around, then, you know, we'll be in a position where they can write their own destiny. But all they can do is concentrate on what we can do.
The Championship's that mad that we could end up top of the league and it could be Ipswich or Southampton behind us. We could end up second. It could be one of them at the top. Leicester could end up in the playoffs. You know, no one knows. Just have to keep winning our games and doing our thing. That's it. That's exactly all you can do.
Exactly that. Still lots of football to be played.
That's it. I think I'll wrap it up on that note, Gilly, unless you got what else you want to throw out.
Yeah, just, we've got an Andy's Man Club walk coming up. So we're doing the Muriel walk. So we're walking 17 miles across Leeds, taking in a lot of the murals, not all of them because there's so many of them, but a lot of them. So we're doing so for Andy's Man Club, and we'll share the links on the socials. Just a thank you to everybody that's donated so far. It does mean a lot. Everybody that's shared, all of that sort of stuff. And I think somebody's buying us a great big fat bastard butty.
I'm going to need that.
Yeah.
That's the reason I'm turning up.
It's really important that Andy's Man Club are there and, you know, entities like that exist for people to go along and to be able to talk. And it's important that people remember it's okay to not be okay. And it's okay to talk. It's something, I can't say that I'm fully looking forward to it because it is quite a long walk.
I've not walked more than a couple of miles for about 2 years. So
it is important. And it's important that people recognize that there is support there if it's needed. And just an additional comment as well, Dave Calderdale in the chat just saying we are all like a family on chat. Awesome. while we're on here, we can see the conversations ongoing between you all, and you know, yeah. I can't speak for everybody, but I really appreciate it. It keeps us going as well. It's a big deal, so I do this love is, it.
This is difficult if no one's interacting. So
it is. It is.
Know, we appreciate really everybody that does. Yeah,
we do. And
I mean, just we can talk shit, but it's hard when you're just talking shit without any sort of interaction.
It is. So you know, it is a big deal. And as lots of the comments have said, if you can all smash that like button and subscribe to us, it all helps. It helps the ratios and all of that sort of stuff. So
keeps us coming back for more.
It does. Glutton for punishment, I think.
Absolutely. So yeah, if you want to see more,
or is that them?
a bit of both, I think. I think it's like it's cathartic for all of us. I think that's what it is. But yeah, I mean, it's not been a bad pod, to be fair, mate. I were kind of dreading talking about that game, but we've got through a lot and
we got there.
We've covered everything we needed to cover and hopefully cheered a few people up along the way. We'll catch you all on Wednesday.
Cheers, Jay. Cheers, everyone.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Thank you for listening to another Auto Know Better podcast, the Independent League United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @AutoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke Aftermatch podcasts. We have 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.